to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 105 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, this is Ed, and I'm finally back on the show after the big trip. It took a little while, but here I am. And unfortunately for you guys, it is only me. Now, I probably could fill about an hour's worth of time just rambling on about this trip, but not to bore you too much, what we decided to do was this week, we're going to do one of the recordings we made down at Walt Disney World. When we had the scavenger hunt at the Hollywood Studios, while everybody was out on the hunt, we needed something to do. So the four of us took a walk over to One Man's Dream and just basically took a walk through it, talking in Sam's recorder, and basically just any thought that came to our minds we were kind of talking about. We also recorded the show afterwards, which was great. So happy we got that on audio. With any sound from the park recording, I always ask you to use headphones. For this show, I definitely do that. With the recorder Sam had, it's really nice in that you'll hear Jimmy on the left of us, you'll hear him talking, and you'll hear maybe Jen behind or to the right, and you basically kind of hear everybody all over. What's also good about this audio is you hear a lot of the background music and the background sounds inside One Man's Dream. I love that stuff. It puts me right there as soon as I hear it. Really, really cool. So, headphones on. I hope you guys enjoy this show, and here we go. Hey guys, this is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Sam. How you guys doing?
And we're all together in One Man's Dream, which could be one of the last times we'll have a chance to see it.
Yeah, so we just sent people off onto a scavenger hunt. We decided to check out One Man's Dream in Hollywood Studios. We're standing in the entranceway, Walt Disney, One Man's Dream, looking at both the first public photo of Walt and Mickey and the last public photo of Walt and Mickey in the same room, which I think is pretty cool.
Now, something else going on at Hollywood Studios today is Dapper Day. That's where everybody dresses up like the 30s.
It's pretty cool out there.
And I can't help but when I look at Walt, back in the day, a lot of the people are dressed up like him. So it definitely fits in with the motif for today.
It does, which ties back to studios in general, because that's when he came to Hollywood.
Very true.
It's just helpful.
There's just a lot of iconic images in here. You got Walt walking through Sleeping Beauty's castle. Yeah. You got Walt with the shadow of Mickey over here.
Right. Epcot. Lots of pictures from the Florida Project.
Absolutely.
Lots of cool stuff. This, I think right away, that's acting out Snow White.
Snow White, absolutely. Yep. The storyboard.
Yep. The storyboard session. Yep. I'm looking for the apple in his mouth. We've seen that image so many times. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Really cool. Oh, that is very interesting. Ed just pointed out, in the picture of Walt doing the Snow White storyboard, we think there's a Pinocchio on the bottom, so maybe that's Pinocchio, not Snow White. Can't tell. It could be Jiminy Cricket.
Not sure. It looks like Jiminy Cricket. Very cool.
Walt liked his trains, didn't he?
Yep. Yeah, that's. I still see that today.
You can never see pictures of him in his trains without him smiling.
You know what? You're right.
Whether it's the trains in the parks or the trains in his backyard, he was just a little boy with those things. He just loved it.
That is great. That is great. And, that was always that wall. Marceline, Penny Arcade.
So, Marceline, the first room, well, I guess that's technically the second room you come into, is all about Marceline and all about the train station.
That is really that wall.
Yeah.
The school desk, which is amazing to see. The story goes that he found it when he went for a visit in the 50s to his old school with him and his brother, and they still had the actual desk with his name carved in it, so they were able to take it.
He was a really good storyteller. So I wonder if that was story or if that's true. I always have that. But
I
It's good stuff.
It's quite interesting walking around in here and then seeing all these people dressed up for Dapper Day. And
that's cool.
Oh, no, it,
yeah,
right,
it fits. It just fits the whole area.
The next room we come into is
the
early animation areas with Walt and his company, his building company.
And Walt's sketching out Mickey. We've seen so many times.
This is not necessarily his desk. This is just representative of what an animation desk would look like at that time.
Yep. And it's pretty cool. Love the old telephone.
They had computer screens like that.
That's good. Early animation table, 1928.
Pretty cool.
Like some of the pictures in there. Some sketches of Mickey on the side here. Of course, Steamboat Willie. So Ed, I see what you're doing there. I love to look at the little details here.
Well, they have the shelves with all the different books and items on it. And
yeah,
whenever you check that out, sometimes you find some really, really cool hidden gems. And if not about Walt, you find out about the era, even.
Yeah.
Which is also really interesting to me.
A lot of old movie reels in here that look kind of cool.
Okay.
Oh, there's no date on it. There's a newspaper, but I can't find the date.
It's the graduation of desks. We had Walt's desk as a school child. We had Walt's version of a desk in early animation. And we have Walt's desk when he started heading this company.
Yeah,
I
don't recall this particular exhibit.
Is this where they put...
it was around the corner. I'm not recalling this, are you?
I don't know.
Right across from the multiplane camera.
Probably, the multiplane camera is probably one of the biggest leaps in animation ever.
Absolutely. A 3D before 3D.
Yeah,
was
it says a thought. When you can look at those movies today, and you're still really impressed with
how it
looks. I remember that as a kid being amazed.
Well, you see those same movies, and they were just two-dimensional and had no depth. They were not quite the same.
Right. I completely agree. It was revolutionary. Still is.
The next thing we come up to is the miniature diorama of Granny's Cabin. Now, I remember this because I did an interview with this and the guy who helped him out. And unfortunately, right this second, I can't come up with his name, but I will later. But him and Walt worked on this themselves, and the idea was to take this on the road and basically to different types of convention centers and things like that where they had people for whatever event. And eventually made it to the World's Fair, and you had Granny inside the house, and she was talking, and things would move. The chair would rock on the front porch, lights would go on throughout the house, and it was a pretty impressive exhibit. There was always a line for it. And people were just amazed about what had happened. And it comes back to where actually Walt and this other gentleman worked on it themselves.
That's cool. That's really cool. Love that model.
A lot of stuff going on. Just a lot of different little circuits. And
oh, yeah.
It's amazing.
Looks like Grandpa's.
There you go. Hand-built by Walt Disney himself, 1949. This animated diorama was an early attempt at dimensional storytelling. And that's what it is. It's all about storytelling.
Sure. He took a movie and put it into a three-dimensional house.
This thing is incredible.
What do you have? The Dancing Man prototype figure.
Buddy Ebsen. They filmed him and put sensors on him, and he danced, and the machine kind of mocked him, his every move,
which is cool.
But when you go around the back and see the what goes into making this thing work,
let's go look.
it's incredible. I mean, it's just a bunch of gears, and the little fingers just kind of follow on the gear, kind of like a record player.
Or like a music box.
Or like a music box. Absolutely.
Yeah, which I'm sure is where the idea came from. That reminds me of some of the early videos of Haunted Mansion, where they had the little record players that would spin in the basement and actually made the movements upstairs.
They had to create those, and then they would use them until they ran out, until they wore out.
So that there wasn't, digital didn't exist. This was digital. you had a gear where you carved into it the movements, and as the needle dipped in and out, the person or the movement would happen.
I think the next step they made was paper tape, where they had holes punched into the tape, and that regulated the animatronics.
That makes sense.
And then everything went digital after that.
Started with an idea.
Did you ever hear the Buddy Ebsen story about the Wizard of Oz?
Mm.
Buddy Ebsen was going to be the Tin Woodsman. And in the rehearsals in the beginning, before they started filming it, they had that silver makeup on him, and he got incredibly sick from it. And
he almost died.
So he was allergic, and they had to take him out, and they brought the other gentleman in.
Yeah. No, he had a. If you ever read about a lot about Walt Disney, he had a pretty good relationship with Buddy Ebsen. You see Buddy Ebsen pop up in his history quite a bit.
He was in the Davy Crockett series.
Yeah,
he was Davy Crockett's best friend.
And it's funny. The only thing I could do, like the Beverly Hillbillies is the only thing that's what I reckon. You know, for me, that's what it was.
He was the detective, Barnaby Jones.
Yeah, see, that's a little
all
before
that time.
My time.
Yeah. Well, the other one was too.
Yeah. Well, it was.
Hillbilly.
But I remember, I guess that had such a, probably more staying power. I remember Beverly Hillbillies coming on. I don't remember.
Yep. Before we leave this one room, one other thing to point out is they have another display about Walt's railroad in his backyard, the Carrollwood Pacific Railroad, which, again, I want to point out, I've never seen Walt as happy as I've seen him in any of these railroad pictures.
I see that.
And if you're down in Walt Disney World, you ever have a chance, over at the Wilderness Lodge, in the DVC section of it, they have a really cool room set up called the Train Room. Basically, it has a couple of the trains from Walt's original train in there, a couple of the cars, and a lot of the pictures on the walls and things like that. It was really a fun little visit when I went over there.
Now, leaving this room, I think, is one of the really good transitions, because you got the stone wall.
Well, yeah.
Ed's walking through.
And look up.
A sign that says, here you leave today and enter a world, the world of yesterday, tomorrow, and fantasy. So this is getting then to the theme park years.
Sure, this is, you're walking into
One Man's Dream.
One Man's Dream, 5 minutes. Yeah,
that's... And as we step into the new world, we see the Walt Disney Show.
Yeah, the Disney, well, this is the commercial for Disneyland.
I was going to say, Walt's way to finance and then eventually run Disneyland was through this TV show. What better way than to get people involved and want to come there and put it on TV? That's how we went to Disney World. That's exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
Like, where would it have been? But, seriously.
We'll walk it through. No, it's all good. Yeah, we're looking too.
Now, the other desk down there we decided is new.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that desk
on the camera. So
well,
maybe
that's what I was like, they have this desk, but it's not the big office. I must be forgetting something. That's right, yeah.
And what we're talking about is one of the things they had in One Man's Dream was a representation of Walt's office, I'm going to say probably in maybe the 50s and 60s. Where
I think it was the way he left it. The way that he left it.
And that makes sense because, again, like I said, I love to look at the details. On the back desk, they had a bunch of scripts.
Yes.
And all those scripts were the last movies Walt worked on or was involved with. So it definitely makes sense that's how it was at the end. What was really cool, too, on the wall, on the side, they had some pictures of this really cool plane and the insides of the plane. Well, that was the plane he used for the trips down to Walt Disney World, down to Florida when he was exploring it.
The Florida Project.
And it was a pretty nice plane.
It was. And that desk is now a Disneyland... Which, this is the drawing that Walt sat for a weekend with one of his animators, I don't remember, and said, we need something to show the investors, start drawing. And that's what they came up with in a 48-hour period, from nothing to that.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. The rumor I have now is the office is going to the museum.
To the Family Museum in California.
San Francisco.
Yeah, I think that is...
Oh, we'll
see. It's all part of the transition here at Hollywood Studios.
when we were talking, as we were coming in, someone earlier this morning, the cast member was talking to someone coming in, and I caught the tail end of the conversation. It was, well, it was never supposed to be permanent. It was just supposed to be for the celebration.
Well, what
and I'm
is
like,
supposed to be permanent? Nothing here is supposed to be permanent. Right? Nothing here at all.
Well, that's what's so nice about running a company is you get to pick and choose what's going to stay and what's not going to stay. Because there are a lot of year 2000 items that are still in the park. The pins are still being traded.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was just for that.
No, but I do. I look down here, right? And what do you really see? There's some exhibits, and there's lots of things hanging on the walls. There's nothing to this structure that makes this one man. This stuff could go anywhere,
true.
And you could redo one man's dream.
Right.
That's
you know,
the
someone,
way I look at it.
Someone was brainstorming, and I highly doubt this would ever happen, but they said they should make a sort of Museum East in the Disney Quest space because they've closed
like
Disney
do something
Quest.
In that space.
I know, but how cool would that be? Well, no, and it's too like far away from the parks. They already have enough time, hard enough time getting people in here, but.
Why don't we classically
cool.
do this Disney-wise, put this on a truck, take it on the road, and
I like that.
Just
that'd
advertise
cool.
and make
a couple
people
of years
want to
go
home.
On the road
yeah,
a couple of years with
it.
Yeah.
Really cool. I see it. Again.
All right, let's keep walking. Is this this is Sleeping Beauty's castle, right? Yes. Well, actually, I want to look this way. So I like this. That's a recreation of a picture that I think we've
yes,
all seen before.
Absolutely.
Love that. Walt walking through the castle.
I never noticed him back there.
How about that? Walt sitting back there and... Yeah.
Cool.
Then, of course, with the success of the parks, we get more movies. More movies. Cinderella, Peter Pan, all this good stuff.
Well, and this is even like the poster from France. Which is kind of cool.
Oh, I like that.
The rest
he
of
looks happy here, too, at any of the pictures in the parks, too. It's kind of like the train center.
Sure.
Maybe the parks were just this big train set, right?
Well, he's being Uncle Walt. He has the opportunity to be Uncle Walt, and he has the opportunity to be the owner of a big company and make the big decisions. So it's no wonder you get different stories about Walt's personality.
Absolutely. And it just makes sense.
One of the live-action movies that made the company a lot of money was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So we're passing by that little exhibit here. Which has increased and decreased over the
in
years.
In 1 minute, the doors will open.
In 1 minute. We're going to cut this short and get in there? I think that's what we're going to do.
Dream.
We'll watch One Man's Dream and...
...and tape recordings from the Walt Disney Archives. Some are 50 to 70 years old. And while the quality
I love this. That's the actual model.
You agree that they provide a unique and very personal look at a remarkable life.
That's so fascinating.
This whole thing right here. That's the model.
But I mean, look at what goes into audio animatronics.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
We're looking at the Abe Lincoln auto animatronic here that we have that used to be the original one from either the World's Fair or from
World's Fair. This is all World's
okay.
Fair
so
in this exhibit.
Can you imagine what it actually looks like now inside there?
One of my favorite stories was when they first did it, they first tested them out, they were using red hydraulic fluid because that's the color of hydraulic fluid. Unfortunately, it blew a leak and it looked like Abraham Lincoln had gotten assassinated one
that's
more time.
That's so funny. I love that. Hey, look at the tiny little Shanghai exhibit. I'm like, oh, that's kind of disappointing after seeing
All right, we're headed into the movie.
Jimmy, you want to sit by your wife or no?
Nah.
I
Motion picture trivia to Walt Disney. At this time, please refrain from eating, drinking, photography, or videotaping. And also, it's a very good time for you to silence your phone. And now, the Walt Disney Company is proud to present One Man's Dream.
They say that Hollywood is a town built on dreams.
and one of its greatest dreamers was Walt Disney. Walt believed that any height could be scaled if you knew the secret of making dreams come true. Well, he certainly knew that secret. He touched the hearts of millions of people around the world. The story of Walt's life is truly an amazing one, and no one can tell it better than Walt himself.
My dad worked as a carpenter in the world's fire buildings. He eventually ended up in Chicago as a contractor, and he was doing that when I was born, December 1901. My dad made some money as a contractor, and he wanted to get back to the farm. They finally ended up buying this farm in Marshalling, Missouri. It was a beautiful farm, but it was not the kind of farm to make a living on. Things got pretty tough on the farm. My dad had a sickness, so my dad sold the farm, took the money, and went to Kansas City. And my dad bought this Kansas City Star route. So they gave me a route. I was about 9 or 10 when I started that. Winter, we'd go out at 3:30 in the morning right after a blizzard, or in a blizzard, or in pouring rain. It didn't matter. I did that for 6 years. It was tough.
It seems that everywhere Walt's father turned, he found failure. And the constant struggle took its toll on the family. One by one, the children began to leave home. Then came the day Walt woke up to find his best friend, his brother Roy, had gone as well.
My brother had joined the Navy, so I wanted to join him. Well, I was still a year too young, I was 16. Finally, this kid came in to me very excited. He said, there's something just for me here that you and I can get in. I said, what is it? He says, an ambulance unit. I was in Paris, 3rd of September, when Pershing pulled up. Paris, which had been this exciting thing with all these soldiers and things, suddenly there wasn't a soldier to be seen. And I suddenly became very lonesome. So then I went in and put a request in to be discharged. So I hit Chicago. That's where my parents were living. And I said, Dad, I want to be an artist. And my dad, he just couldn't buy that. So I pulled stakes and moved to Kansas City. Roy was in Kansas City working in a bank. One of the fellows working with Roy said, say, I have a couple of friends that have an art shop. And I went up with these samples, and there were all these corny things I'd done in France. Well, my gosh, they hired me. I mean, right on the spot. So I took the camera home, and then I started experimenting. Oh, man. But then I went into this Kansas City film company. Well, that was where I got started in the animation business. So I was thinking if I had something in the novel place, I might crack the market. But I still couldn't get anywhere with it. I failed. I learned a lot out of that. And I think it's important to have a good hard failure when you're young.
I packed all my worldly goods in a cardboard suitcase. I went to Hollywood. Arriving there with just $40 in my pocket from my Kansas City ventures. Now, my brother Roy was already in Los Angeles. Both of us were unemployed. We solved the problem by going into business for ourselves. We established the first animated cartoon studio in Hollywood.
Walt's dream was finally coming true. He had his first commercial success, Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. And Walt himself was lucky enough to marry the girl of his dreams, Lillian, a pretty ink and paint girl who worked at his studio. Then he was dealt a tough blow. On a trip to New York City, he learned that through a contract loophole, he had lost ownership of Oswald. And to make matters worse, the distributor had signed away all of Walt's artists. Devastated, he headed back home to California. But something happened along the way that would change his world forever.
Mickey Mouse came into our life.
He popped out of my mind onto a drawing pad on a train ride from Manhattan to Hollywood. at a time when the business fortunes of my brother Roy and myself were a blow a stab and disaster seemed right around the corner. His first actual screen appearance was at the Old Colony Theater in New York in Steamboat Willie. He was the first cartoon character to stress personality, and I thought of him from the first as a distinct individual. I did the voice.
Hang on, pal. Here we go.
Mickey was simply a little personality assigned to the purposes of laughter. Mickey fitted the need exactly. He brought in the money which saved the day. He enabled us to explore our medium, and he paved the way for our more elaborate screen ventures.
By nature, I'm an experimenter, so I had another idea which was plaguing my brain. It was the Silly Symphonies. It was a series without a central character.
Every one of us a new type of subject to give us something to reach out of and accomplish something different. Then we started distributing both Mickey Mouse and the Silly Symphonies. That was Nip and Tuck getting them out.
Walt began to push himself and his artists. He worked day and night, and when he wasn't working, he was worrying about the future. Then the inevitable happened. In 1931, he suffered what he called a heck of a breakdown. So he took Lillian on the first vacation they had ever had. By the time he got back, he was a new man and ready to get back to work.
I saw the handwriting on the wall there. It was a short subject, was just a filler on any program. Now, if I could crack the feature field, then I could do things. I had done a little story research on different fairy tales I might do, and Snow White was one of them. I thought it was a perfect story. I had the heavy.
It's a magic wishing apple. Now, make a wish.
I had the prince, then the girl, the romance. I had the sympathetic dwarfs and things. We started Snow White sometime in 1935, and it was around 2 years of the making. We had the family fortune, we had everything wrapped up in Snow White. In fact, the banker, I think, was losing more sleep than I was. We had a big premiere, the Carthay Circle Theater, big, grand Hollywood premiere. All of Hollywood brass turned out for a cartoon.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs is going to be presented this beautiful statue. Isn't it bright and shiny?
Sure, it's beautiful.
Aren't you proud of it, Mr. Disney?
Why, I'm so proud, I think I'm blessed.
With the profits of Snow White, I built a studio. Two years later, I was almost broke. But I had all these pictures in order. Hello, Kill. Fantasia. That was when the war came. The whole world was collapsing then. So many of my boys were serviced. So I just practically stopped my feature production. That's all I could do. But after the war, there was quite a problem picking up the pieces. I didn't, diversifying of the business would be the salvation of it. So I tried various things. What about the cartoon? But I thought if I could get into the live animals, there's things I could do.
Stand by inches.
Not bad, eh, Charlie? Let's open her up and see what you really do.
I wanted to look different types of things that I could
Say, I could call on my nose. One of these pictures, but I had another one right behind it. That would hit.
After long concentration on live action and cartoon films, we decided to try something that would employ about every trick we learned in the making of films.
Take a look!
We would combine cartoon, live action, and enormous fantasy, Mary Poppins. As the original Mary Poppins budget of $5 million continued to grow, I never saw a sad face around the studio. Even my brother Roy was happy. This made me nervous. And the horrible thought struck me. Suppose the staff had finally conceded that I knew what I was doing.
Once again, Walt Disney reinvented family entertainment, creating many of the classics we still enjoy today. But even then, he wasn't finished. He had a bigger dream in mind.
Well, it came about when my daughters were very young, and Saturday was always Daddy's day with the two daughters. So we'd start out and try to go someplace, you know, different things, and I would take them to the merry-go-round, and I took them different places, and as I'd sit there while they rode the merry-go-round, did all these things, I felt that there should be something built, some kind of an amusement enterprise built where the parents and the children could have fun together. So that's how Disneyland started. It takes a lot of money to make these dreams come true. We had everything mortgaged, including my family. I started with many ideas, threw them away, started all over again. Eventually it evolved into what you see today as Disneyland. But it all started from a daddy with two daughters wondering where he could take them, where he could have a little fun with them too. Park means a lot to me in that something will never be finished, something that I can keep developing and adding to. Not only can I add things, but even the trees will keep growing. The thing will get more beautiful every year. And I knew that if I did anything like the park, I had to have some kind of a medium like television to let the people know about it.
Is a carousel of color, history, comedy, fantasy. There's drama and mirth, there's old Mother Earth with all of her secrets to see. The miracle of imagination, the marvels of earth, sea, and sky. These wonders untold are ours to behold in the funny world, the sunny world.
And now your host, Walt Disney. Today, I want to share with you some of our ideas for Disney World. Here in Florida, we have something special we never enjoyed at Disneyland, the blessing of size. There's enough land here to hold all of the ideas and plans we could possibly imagine. Everything in this room may change time and time again as we move ahead. But the basic philosophy of what we're planning for Disney World is going to remain very much as it is right now. We know what our goals are. We know what we hope to accomplish. And believe me, it's the most exciting and challenging assignment we've ever tackled at Walt Disney Productions. Well, after 40 some odd years in the business, my greatest reward, I think, is that I have the public appreciate and accept what I've done all these years. That is a great reward. And I think by this time, my staff, my group of executives are convinced that Walt is right and that quality will out. And I think that'll hang on after Disney.
Walt Disney once said, "I hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mouse. But we know it was really all started by a man with a dream, and a mouse."
Like a moon out of the blue.
Any thoughts on what might be your last time seeing One Man's Dream?
I'm glad PBS has a great documentary now that we'll see a couple times.
Well, and we do skip over a couple of things.
Yes, yeah, I didn't notice that.
A couple of things just kind of go, like, it popped out of my head on the way from, yeah, not quite, but anyway, it's a great story.
I had a breakdown, went on vacation, came back, everything was great. Yeah. Like, well, it was a condensed version. No, I love that version of it, too.
So
that he just is so...
Yeah, and this is,
he's,
I mean,
so happy, and he makes such... He would blow on the little tassel on the graduation cap. I'm like, I want to meet him. I want to hang out with that guy.
For a theme park attraction here, that's the version you want to portray.
That's the theme park version.
Absolutely.
You
cry every time, and I'm like, I can't... I just... I wish I knew him. Like, yeah, that's really cool.
It's the theme park version.
Well, and I laughed a little bit, too, because we always talk about how... These new plans that come out with, we saw with the new Fantasyland, and we're going to see with everything else. What we see announced is not always what ends up, and that's not a new thing. Like he said in there, what's on these walls might change a dozen times before it's actually. I'm like, oh, see, so nothing's ever exactly as it's planned.
Nothing ever is. And I think
but people still freak out about it. Like that's not what they said they were going to do.
Oh, Waddle be rolling over in his grave. No, he was actually the biggest proponent for things constantly changing,
absolutely,
and evolving.
And speaking of that, one of the things I was looking at in there was trying to figure out if this theater is a separate building from the rest of One Man's Dream.
Well, because we were talking about,
I
you mentioned
it
how,
might be.
Yeah, you mentioned how One Man's Dream is so portable looking.
It
but
is.
That's not really. I mean, those
that,
are theater
no, the theater's
seats
not going
and
anywhere.
Stamped.
But what we're hearing now is very soon, this is going to be the preview for Good Dinosaur. And I believe they're going to have people in and out this way with the rest of it. And we're talking
they
this
have
is
a,
soon.
Unused building for that already?
No, that's going to be the Star Wars preview.
The Drew character. Oh, so they're going to be doing
gonna be
both
Star Wars preview over there. Yes.
Well,
so
yeah,
this will be Disney's Hollywood preview land.
Yes.
It's short term name. Is that the new name? Are you going with that?
We didn't ever get a new name, did we?
Yeah, we never
Disney
did.
Disney preview land. I like it.
You can come here
think of
for $100 a day and watch trailers
watch
for all
YouTube
the movies
trailers,
coming out.
That's right.
That's good. But you can also play Disney Infinity right here inside Star Wars Bay or whatever.
Which you can also do it.
That's good. Yeah. So anyway, I'm glad
very
that
cool
we got to watch it one more time.
That's pretty cool.
I agree.
I like that.
That not even last.
I hope that. I know there's no video recording when you're in there, and they say it. They don't say anything about audio, which is why we captured audio. I love to see that someday, right?
You know, very cool.
Well, thanks for listening, guys. I hope you liked that. We'll all be back next week, and we're going to kind of go over some of the goods and some of the bads of this past trip we had. If you want to get in touch with the show, send us an email at thedisneynerds.com. So it's going to be either Ed at thedisneynerds.com, Jen, Sam, or Jimmy. Oh, also, one other thing I wanted to say real quick before we leave for this week is one of the people we met down at the parks was Christine. Christine, I ran into you walking out of Disney Hollywood Studios. You said you were a listener to the show, and you actually kind of surprised me by knowing who I was. But it was really cool, and I felt very bad because I didn't have anything for you. So if you can email the show, I'd appreciate it, ed@thedisneynerds.com. And so I know it's you, definitely. Tell me who was with you that day, because I remember who it was. And definitely send me your home address, and I want to send you a couple things. So thanks again for stopping, talking to me. I appreciated that. And thanks to everybody else we met down there. That was a really fun time. Tune in next week. We're going to talk all about it a little bit more. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later. Kungaloosh!
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.